Shall we open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, one that is very familiar to all of us. And of course, as we said the last time we were here, it was about a year ago, we took the first part of the Gospel of John, and in the evening we took that sixth verse, and it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we dwelt some on that verse, and this morning we want to get right into the rest of the chapter and to see the great things that God has for us in this portion of his word. You notice in that sixth verse it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. As we pointed out the last time I was here, he didn't say, I'm one of the ways, or there's other ways. He says, I am the way. There is no other way to the Lord God of heaven but through the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people, when they hear that, they say, that fellow sure is narrow-minded when he says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way, because there's a lot of people claim that they have the way to God, and they do not follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But we notice that God gave his precious Son to become the Savior of the world, to give him as a sacrifice. Even the Gospel of John points out, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. In the Old Testament, as we have studied it many times in different places, as we've gone around the country, we have noticed that the Lord Jesus Christ is that Lamb that was slain in the Old Testament, that animal that was given to cover their sins. Their sins were only atoned for. And of course, the word atonement means to cover. And of course, our sins are not covered. They're washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the Lamb which we come to this morning for salvation. And as you look at the rest of that verse, it says, I am the way, the truth. He's the one that gives the truth to the world. He is the truth. And also, and the life. And he says in that verse, no man can come unto the Father but by me. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ, this personal Lord and Savior? And I'm glad this morning to say that I know him. And I'm glad that I was brought to the place of seeing myself as a lost, condemned sinner, and that I needed a Savior. You know, a man is never saved until he sees that he's lost. The same thing when we're on our way, traveling around the highways up and down to different places, we notice that our people never seem to realize that they're lost until they come to the end of themselves and say, I give up. Or they'll turn to that map and say, where am I? Many times I've gone on a highway and traveled down the highway, and one time, I'll never forget, in Kentucky, I was moving down the highway and I thought I was on the right highway. And all of a sudden this great highway that I was on came to a two-lane highway, and then pretty soon I came to a bridge that was a wooden bridge and just two planks going across it. And I knew I was lost. When I got on the other side, there were some fellas meeting me there with some shotguns. And I rolled down my window and I said, where am I? They said, we think you're lost. I said, I think so too. And I found out that I'd gone about 50 miles out of my way. I was sincere, but I was going the wrong way. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by him. Now, the verse of Scripture that we want to start with this morning is the 17th verse of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Notice what it says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, you notice what he says. Peace I leave with you. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to give us peace. Not as the world gives. Notice the verse again. Peace I leave with you. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to give peace to his disciples. They were going to be upset in just a few days because the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be dying on the cross of Calvary for their sins. He was going to be made sin for them as he was made sin for each one of us. He was going to take their place. The cross, as even we heard about this morning in our first service around the Lord's table, as our brother reminded us, it wasn't his cross. He took the cross of Barabbas. And of course, as we look at that, each one of us are the one who is called Barabbas. We need a Savior. We're the ones that had committed iniquity and sin, and we needed somebody to take our place. But he said to the disciples, "Peace I leave with you." He was going to leave them. He was going to go back to his Father. And as you go over the Gospel of John, you will notice in this portion of God's Word, he uses the Father's name 70 times. In the book of Matthew, I think the Father is referred to 12 times. In the book of Mark and Luke, I think the Father is referred to 10 times. But in the book of John, he's referred to 70 times. And in this portion of God's Word especially, the Lord Jesus Christ refers to his Father. For he's going to go to the Father, but he's going to give his disciples peace. He leaves us peace. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. For we have the peace of God. We don't have the peace of the world. You know, when the world speaks of peace and having security and all, they usually are referring to financial being in our life. That we come to a place where we have achieved a great amount of wealth, and then they think we'll have peace. But there's a lot of people, maybe even in my audience this morning, you have a great deal of wealth, but in your heart and in your life you have no peace. But God wants to give you peace. It's not the peace of the world. The world promises to young girls as they look at Hollywood and different other places, and attraction even to television, that they might be attracted to being some kind of a star in their life, their name put in life, and they say, when you get to this spot, then you will have peace. And a person will work hard and spend many hours trying to develop a gift that they might be able to act before other people and try to put over to the audience how great they are. And when they get up to the very success of being the best actor of all, they still find out they don't have peace. Beloved, you can have all kinds of land. You can inherit a great deal of money. You can come, as we have already mentioned, to the height of a great success in business. But this will not bring you peace. How many men haven't tried to strive and to get to be the boss of the company? As even one fellow said, as he said, "Why isn't your name written down on one of the plaques?" He says, "I haven't been here long enough. But there will be a day when my name will be on a door." And he spent hours working trying to get his name on a door to try to get peace of soul and mind because he had accomplished something. But that's the world's peace. But when you get to the place of the greatest plateau of life, you still are longing to get something else. And you get to the top, even if it's a senator of the United States, or maybe a governor of our great state, or even maybe some alderman, or the President of the United States. When you get up to these great heights, you still don't have peace because it's only something else that you can grab for. I think of a dear man, a friend of mine in Florida, much wealth. He had anything that he wanted to buy, he could buy. But the man did not have peace. Why didn't he have peace? If there was anyone I would think would have had peace, would have been this man. He had great yachts. Many times you say to me, "Let's go out and fish." And you know, that's what the Apostle Paul brings out. He knew what it was to be abased. He knew what it was to have nothing. And he knew what it was to abound. And beloved, I believe every servant of the Lord Jesus Christ has found this out. None of the servants of the Lord are very wealthy. Oh, there might be a few that are wealthy. But most of them, as far as income is concerned, they don't make a great deal of money. Now I know some do, but the majority of them don't. And maybe sometimes we would say, well, they don't have much money, and they don't have the best of homes or the best of cars. But beloved, sometimes the servant of the Lord knows what it is to be abased, to have nothing. But then maybe the next week he will be in a home that's plush with the best of furniture, with the best of dishes, and all the rest before you, and there you look at your seated down to that wonderful banquet table, and you think of the wonderful cloth that your dishes are sitting on, and you say, "I hardly could even buy something. Is that expensive?" You look at the napkin, and you dare not to hardly pick it up to wipe your mouth because it looks like it shouldn't be for that, but rather reserved in a cabinet to just be looked at, but that's your napkin to wipe your mouth. Now, beloved, that's living in luxury. And you can have all of this. But you know, in all of the great wealth, and we might be able to abound with somebody, but I've been in homes where they've had all the fine things, but they didn't have peace.
We say, oh, I wish I could try it for a while. But, beloved, you can reach to the greatest heights, and maybe there's somebody in my audience this morning, maybe a young person, and you're doing everything you can. You're working many hours to try to get peace and to try to get satisfaction. But I want to tell you something. The world can't give you peace. You know why? When you're at the top, there is always somebody that's trying to get your wealth. And this was the trouble with my friend in Florida. He says, you don't know what it's like to be rich. I says, no, I don't. He says, you don't know what it's like to look at a person and you wonder in your heart and your mind. And let me say this for all the rich people. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. For you never know if you have a friend or not. Maybe that friend is only friendly to you to try to get what you have. And that's what my friend said. He said, Jim, I don't know who is my true friend and who isn't, because I don't know if they're just my friends to get something from me, or if they want to be seen with me because I'm rich, or if they just want to be around me because they like me. He says, I don't have many friends because I don't know who's my friend. Isn't it a sad thing to be rich? Beloved, you see, riches cannot bring peace, but the world promises you peace, peace. If you only get to the top of the ladder, then you will have peace, but I've got news for you. You can get to the top of the ladder, but you will not have peace. For peace is not there in wealth. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, peace I leave with you. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to have somebody love you. Just because you, not because you're rich. God doesn't love you because you're rich, because he's richer than you are. And he can take all of your wealth away. He doesn't love you for riches, and yet many times the rich man might think that he is loved only by the church because of his riches, and he thinks God is one that needs his riches. Listen, rich man, God does not need your riches. For he even says in his book, if I was hungry, I would not tell you. You see, God does not need your riches. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come as a rich man. He had nowhere to lay his head. The foxes have a hole. The birds have a nest. But the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Yet he had peace because he knew the Father and he was one with the Father. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow. He could heal the sick and raise the dead. He could feed the multitude, and the multitude, after they were fed, they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and they loved him so much, and he would not commit himself to them because he knew that they only came to him because he fed them and they were filled. He didn't want a friend, just what they could get out of him. He wanted them as a friend because they loved him. Beloved, aren't you glad for the love of God? He doesn't love us for what we can do for him. He loves us for what he can do for us. And when he wants to wash away our sins and to cleanse us from our iniquity, he loves us. He doesn't care how deep we go down into sin. He hates our sin, but he doesn't hate the sinner. He doesn't hate the man that's a dope addict or a drunk. He has never hated an alcoholic man or woman. He loves that individual and would love to take his strong arm and throw around that one, as he did the prodigal son in the picture that we see of the father, seeing his son come from a far country to him, and his father ran to him. He didn't say to him as he saw him, go and get a bath, and then I'll talk to you. No, the father saw that son come from the pig pen. He threw his arms around him, and he loved him. He loved him. Oh, beloved, isn't it a wonderful thing to have somebody that loves you? My mind is touched as I think of this, as a missionary that went over to the cannibal. And eventually he got to the place where he could meet with them and talk to them. Pretty soon, he won some to the Lord. Not long after that, some were led to the Lord, and many gave up their headhunting and came as Christians. And pretty soon there was an assembly started there, and they started to break bread. And the missionary left them and started to another place. When he came back several years later, he was there in the assembly for a while, and he said to the men as they were gathered to break the bread the Sunday morning, and after the breaking of bread was over, the missionary stood up with his Bible. And what we would call would be a tongue lashing. He said to those dear ones that have been won to the Lord Jesus Christ, as only a father of the children could say, for now he was their spiritual father. And he said to his spiritual children under him, he says, I am disappointed in you as I come back. I'm very disappointed in you. And they looked at the missionary as he started to rebuke them after the Lord's Supper. He says, you haven't grown much in the Lord. He says, I thought when I'd come back, I'd find you deeper in the things of God than you are. But you haven't grown much in the Lord. And after the missionary had finished, one of the elders stood up. Tears streaming down his cheek. He looked over the audience and he says, dear brother, he says, to you we might not have grown very much spiritually. But he says, as you know and as the rest of the people know here this morning, he said, I was the chief of the headhunters. And he says, many times we would go on a hunt and we'd find a person and we'd capture them and we'd destroy others and we'd take a few prisoners back to us, and after we'd take them back to our camp, we'd take and we'd eat them. He said, we were a headhunter. He says, but right over there, brother, is another chief headhunter. He was the head of another tribe. He says, that man I hated more than any man. And he says, one day I wanted to eat him. And my great demand in life was to go to that head hunter and destroy him and eat him. But he said, this morning we're fools at the Lord's table. He says, I think we've come a long way. He says, isn't Christianity love? Beloved, that's what Christianity is. Is God showing us His love? How much He loves His disciples, how much He loves me, and how He wants to care for me. And beloved, one of the greatest things I think in everybody's heart after they're saved is they want to see their friends saved, and they want to see their enemies saved. And when we get to the place that we have the love of Christ, we will lay down our life for the brethren. And when we get to the place that we have the love of Christ, we will lay down our life for the brethren. And we'll lay down our life for our own. But you see, many of us overlook what God is trying to say here in this portion. For He says, peace I leave with you. He was going to give them a peace. A peace that passes all understanding. Beloved, before I was saved, I didn't have much peace. When I'd go to bed at night, I would think, if I die before I wake, for you know, we were all taught that little prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Oh, beloved, we used to say that as children. And I'd say, oh, I wonder if the Lord's going to keep me during the night. And the day would come, and I'd wonder if the Lord was going to come during the day. I had no peace. But then there came a day when I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw that He died on the cross of Calvary for me. And beloved, since that day I have had peace with God. Oh, sure, I still have problems. Being saved does not take away all the problems or the financial troubles that we might have. But beloved, you have peace with God and peace of God. For He gives you the peace that passes understanding. You can say, I don't care what this world does to me. I know I'm going to be with Him. I have peace. Why can we have such assurance and such hope? It's because it's who said it. It was the Lord God of heaven, the creator of the universe, as we find in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we have trusted, is not a second-class citizen, but is the one who created the heavens and the earth. Isn't it a wonderful thing that I have entrusted my soul to somebody that is inferior to God, but is God manifested in the flesh. You know, beloved, as you get in this great portion, you notice the next part, it says, my peace I give unto you. He gives this peace. He has perfect peace as he was there at that table, just after he had washed the disciples' feet in the 13th chapter of John. We notice from the 12th chapter of John, he starts to speak to his disciples about his death, that he was going to die, that he was going to give his life a ransom for his own. And from the 13th chapter, we notice that he washes the disciples' feet. He goes up even to that one that's going to deny him. Even Judas himself, and he takes those feet in his hand, and he washes Judas's feet. He washes Peter's feet. Although Peter said, not my feet only, Lord, but everything. He wanted the dose of everything that he could get. But beloved, he at first said, no, not me, Lord. The Lord said, you don't have any part of me. He wanted to show the love to the disciples. And then, beloved, again, he settles down at that table after he shows them how to break bread and to take the cup and to take the bread and to remember that his body was going to be broken for them. They weren't taking it all in that morning. They weren't taking it all in when he was sitting there. But afterwards, the Holy Spirit of God would take these great lessons, even as we notice in a few verses down, that he's going to reveal these things to you in the future. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit of God did after the Lord Jesus Christ had died and was buried and rose from the grave. He was going to reveal the great truths to them. But you notice the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give his disciples peace. He's going to leave them with peace. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let it be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Beloved, this is one that's going to the cross. Did he have peace? Yes, he had peace. You might say, well, how about the Garden of Gethsemane when the Lord Jesus Christ went into that garden to pray, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will be done, but thy will be done. Did he have peace? Yes, he had peace. He had peace with God. God and the Lord Jesus Christ were talking together. Father, isn't there some other way to save the world? No, son. The cross. Because the wages of sin is death, and somebody has to pay for the sins of the world. There's no other way to get rid of sin. Beloved, that's why Jesus Christ had to come to this earth to pay the wages of sin, that we might go free. Now, he did not have fear before him. The cross was before him. As he prayed, asking that cup to pass from him, he wanted to do the Father's will. The disciples were sleepy. They fell asleep. In the greatest hour of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he needed their help the most, they were sound asleep. You would have thought that John and all the other disciples would have gathered around him and put their arms around the Lord Jesus Christ as he prayed, but they didn't. Beloved, as you notice in that portion of God's Word, three positions of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the Gospel gives you, he was kneeling. And there in Jerusalem, even as you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, they have a building over at the Church of All Nations. And in that, beloved, is a big rock. Of course, most of the painters paint the Lord Jesus Christ bowing by that rock. But the other Gospels also give another scene of the Lord Jesus Christ laying on the ground, asking for the cup to pass from him. But the third scene that you get in one of the Gospels is the Lord Jesus Christ face right down into the dirt, praying, let this cup pass from me. Oh, beloved, was he afraid? Oh, he knew what was before him, but he had peace. And he wanted to give part this peace to the disciples. We also heard this morning in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, where our brother read to us, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. When our brother said that at the Lord's Supper this morning, our mind went to a message that I just had a week ago. And I spoke on a portion even in a book of Hebrews. And I turned the mind of the people to that great portion of God's Word. Why did it say that it pleased the Lord to bruise him? Beloved, the reason it pleased the Lord God to bruise him, we notice in the book of Hebrews that the people that came with a sacrifice to God always had a remembrance of sin
They had a remembrance of sin over and over again. Every time they offered an animal sacrifice, they were reminded, you have sinned. You have sinned. But beloved, when we gathered this morning at the Lord's Supper, we were not remembering our sin. I didn't hear one brother get up and say, oh God, I remember my sin. We remember our sin no more. That's why it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why did it please him to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there would not be a remembrance of sin anymore. That's why he says, I will remember your iniquities no more. Isn't it great? Isn't it a wonderful thing to have our sins gone? They're gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. No wonder the Father was happy to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sick, as the book of Hebrews tells us. He was sick of seeing all the blood of animals flow. On Jewish altars, the blood flowed. The blood flowed. The blood flowed. And God says, I'm sick of it. So I'll send my Son. And His blood won't cover sin. It will wash it away. Praise God. My sins are washed away. Are your sins washed away? Beloved, you can have peace with God when your sins are washed away. How do we get it? How do we get this peace? The rich man has to come the same way that the poor man comes. The Old Testament, they had a coin of redemption. When they bought that redemption money, nobody could bring more, and nobody could bring less. They had to bring the right amount. Beloved, in order for you to have your sins cleansed and to get the peace of God, is coming God's way through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to God. A lot of people say there's many roads to Rome. They all lead to Rome. But beloved, there's only one way to heaven. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we look here? It says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He knew what was before the disciples. Oh, I wish I could skip over the 15th chapter and go to the 16th chapter of John. Because beloved, there he tells them what's before them. You notice what he says down in the 28th verse. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. He said, I'm telling you something that's coming to pass. I'm going to my Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's what we get in the first part of the Gospel of John. I'm going to prepare a place for you because heaven was never meant for man and woman. So Jesus Christ left heaven's glory to come down here to become a sinner, to take our sins upon him. Not that he was a sinner himself, but he was made sin, as the scripture tells us. He was made sin. He was made the iniquity that we had committed. They were placed on him on the cross, but he came down here that he might prepare us for heaven. He had to prepare us for heaven, and he had to prepare heaven for us. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we're going to a prepared place? But beloved, he told us all that these things would happen before they ever came to pass. He said, these things are coming upon you. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know the things that are coming upon us? Oh, I'm glad I don't know what's before me. I would never want to go to a fortune teller. I hope I don't have any in my audience. But I would never want to go to a fortune teller and have them tell me what the future is. I know what the future is for me. I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that. But beloved, I don't know what kind of a road I have ahead of me. This next week, I might be sick. I hope not. I might fall down and break an arm or a leg. I hope not. I might have an automobile accident. I hope not.
I might be held as a hostage. I hope not. But, beloved, we don't know what's before us. As far as the road goes, but Jesus Christ knew what was before him. He knew the cross was before him. And when he knew this at that table, he was going to tell the disciples, I'm telling you this ahead of time. Why? Because I don't want you to be offended. Notice the 16th chapter of John, just for a verse that keeps on running in my mind, so I have to touch on it. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. He told them the things that they wouldn't be offended when these things came upon them. What were some of the things that were going to come upon them? And beloved, the next verse says, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. He didn't want them to be caught unaware. He has told the saints of God what is before us. Every person that is saved should have the peace of God because God has given you a book to know what's before you. Do you read it? A sailor, a captain of a ship would be an awful foolish man if he never went by his compass. If he wouldn't go by his map. God has given us a map. He says, I have told you the things that are coming. And beloved, I notice in my campaign around the country, whenever I speak on the book of Daniel or the book of Revelation, or on the chart eternity to eternity, the crowds are much larger. Do you know why? Because people want to know what's ahead of them. The Word of God has told us what's ahead of us. And beloved, as we look at the Word of God, Jesus said, I don't want you to be offended. There's going to be trouble ahead, but I'm going to give you a peace through the trouble. Do you have peace through the trouble? Do you have peace this morning? Do you have the peace of God that says, I don't care if I lose my home, if I lose everything I've got? I still have the lover of my soul. I have Jesus Christ. Many times we sing a wonderful hymn, feasting on the riches of His grace. Resting neath His sheltering wings, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. We sing at Him, and sometimes we wonder if the songwriter had the trouble we had, could he pen those words? Many of you have heard me say this many times when I've led singing and led that song. I've turned your eyes to that man that was a missionary. He had been gone on a missionary journey, and when he came back home, he found his home and his family burned to the ground. Then is when he could sit down and take his pen up and write, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wings, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. And beloved, this morning, if we would know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we would have the peace of God that passes understanding. If a person is going through heartache with divorce, God can give you peace, my friend. If you know He loves you. A man not long ago just sat in my trailer as he talked to me and poured out his heart. It's his wife that played the harlot on him. I could turn him to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, friend, there's one that loves you and will never divorce you. He loves you even when you don't love Him. He had to admit how far he had gone away from God. And I said, well, you've kind of divorced Jesus, but He's never divorced you. He's waiting for His bride to come back, just like you're waiting for your bride to come back. I said, are you going to come back? Oh, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is one that sticketh closer than a brother, because He gives peace. But you see, there's a lot of peace. A lot of people don't enter into this peace because they're afraid to accept Jesus Christ. And in the book of Revelation, we find
next to the last chapter, where even the Lord Jesus, or the last chapter, the book of Revelation, where the Lord Jesus Christ brings out about the fearful and unbelieving. Beloved, they're afraid to step out for Jesus Christ. And maybe there's somebody here this morning, you'd like to be saved, but you're afraid. You'd like to have the peace of God, knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven, but you're afraid. The book of Revelation brings out two people, the fearful and unbelieving, and then it gives the rest of the list that won't be in heaven. And beloved, the greatest amount of souls that are going to be in the lake of fire are not the harlots and not the murderers and not the whoremongers. The greatest number in the lake of fire is going to be those that are afraid to step up for Jesus Christ. And the unbeliever, you just can't believe that Jesus Christ can solve your problems. Beloved, He couldn't solve your problems if He wasn't God. But you see, He can solve your little problem. No matter how big it is to you, He can solve it. Because He's the God-man. The God-man, Christ Jesus. Your problem is very small to Him. And He wants to take that problem and take it from you, and He wants you to cast it on Him, casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. Casting your problems on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, can He bear them? Beloved, it reminds me of the fellow once again that was overseas, and the soldiers were riding in their jeep, and this fellow stopped, and he said, come on into the stadium. He said, jump in. We'll give you a ride. And he had that big bundle on his back. Hardly could get into the jeep. And when he got in, they noticed he didn't take the bundle off. They said, well, take off your weight, man. Take off your burden. He said, friends, he says, it's good enough that you'll carry me, much less to carry my burden too. Beloved, a lot of you people are carrying your burdens, but Jesus Christ wants you to let Him bear your burden. Even as a young preacher, when I first started out, I started to have all kinds of people come for counseling. And it was so troublesome to hear about all these things as a young preacher. And you know what I started to do? Just like most people do. Is I started to worry about the people's problems. I lay in bed at night and I couldn't sleep until finally I just about had a breakdown, and God spoke to me. He says, here you're taking the people's problems and you're praying, but then you try to solve them. Why don't you just turn their problems over to me? And beloved, now when a person asks me to bear their burden, I pray and let the Lord take care of it, because I'm not able to, but He is. He'll give you peace. This morning in closing, I just want to say this with the 1 minute that I have left, and then Brother Jerry will come with a hymn. I want to say that Jesus Christ can meet your need. If you're rich, if you're poor, if you're middle class, no matter what problems you have, Jesus Christ wants to give you peace. Wouldn't it be nice to have peace today? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will give you peace. Brother Jerry.
So we turn to hymn number 252. Hymn number 252. We'll sing the first and last stanzas only of 252. May we stand as we sing this hymn.